through Christ our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Shout out.
Christ according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
When some were speaking about the temple, how it was adorned with beautiful stones and gifts dedicated to God, Jesus said, "As for these things that you see, the days will come when not one stone will be left upon another. All will be thrown down." They asked him, "Teacher, when will this be, and what will be the sign that this is about to take place?" And he said, "Beware that you are not led astray. For many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and 'the time is near.' But do not go after them. When you hear of wars and insurrections, do not be terrified. For these things must take place first, but the end will not follow immediately." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, and in various places famines and plagues, and there will be dreadful portents and great signs from heaven. But before all this occurs, they will arrest you and persecute you. They will hand you over to synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors because of my name. They will give you an opportunity to testify. So make up your minds not to prepare your defense in advance, for I will give you words and a wisdom that none of your opponents will be able to withstand or contradict. You will be betrayed even by parents and brothers, by relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. You will be hated by all because of my name, but not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your soul." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Concerned about what they sense is about to happen. We have a passage that Luke is writing to people that are enduring fierce persecution under the Romans that is costing them their homes and in some cases their lives. And we have a word by the Holy Spirit to us today when we are concerned and afraid, when we are living in times in history or in our own lives that are unsettled, and when we are seeking something to trust. And the word that we get from Jesus this morning is challenging, even as it is good news. For what he tells people is the thing you are inclined to trust is going away. The thing that looks so solid, I wouldn't lean on that if I were you. Something else is worthy of your trust. And if you can keep that in mind, you will endure persecution. You will find your way through the unsettled passages of life. And your salvation is assured. The people that were listening to him, the people that Luke is speaking to, heard Jesus say three things, three admonitions in the face of trouble. The first, do not be misled. The second, do not be afraid. And the third, do not be prepared. Do not be misled. The people of that day were used to looking for the next leader, the next story, the next good idea, the next reliable person to follow in times of trouble. And over, we saw the cycle of revolutionary leaders pop up, get a following, get people excited, and then the Romans came in and crushed it. And their hopes were dashed. And Jesus has said, don't buy into that cycle. You don't have to depend on that. Because you have already seen the leader that God has sent you. You have already seen what the future looks like. You have already seen a path you can trust. In me, you have seen the final revelation. There is no more inside baseball. There is no more special news. You don't have to look for anything else or anyone else. Because what you have experienced in following me is the leader you need for what is ahead. And what had they experienced following Jesus? Well, first of all, they'd been called into an unlikely tribe of people that they were given as their friends. People that no one would have picked to get along with each other. People of different political backgrounds, different social classes, different ethnicities. All the lines that society draws to separate us from each other are overcome in the fellowship of Jesus Christ. And Jesus is telling them, you've already seen a power you can trust. Don't look for buildings. Don't look for charisma in leaders. Don't look for the latest secret. Trust what you have already experienced. And then he tells them, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid, though there be wars and insurrections, though you see frightening portents, do not yourself be overcome with fear. Do not be paralyzed with despair. Do not give up, because these things are going to happen. But this is not the end of the world. It is not these things that are going to trigger the end of the world. Even these days, we hear a lot of talk about the end of the world in the sense that things are ending. But Jesus is playing here with this word, end. The word that is written in Luke's gospel is the Greek word telos, which means end, like in the destination of a journey. End, like the goal of a process. The end is how things are fulfilled. And Jesus is saying that the end of the world has come. It has come in me. The end of the world is the love and communion that you experience with one another and in God, in fellowship with me. This is the world's goal. This is the fulfillment of everything. And when you gather with me in this meal that we share, when we overcome all barriers, when love is made full and complete by the Holy Spirit, the world has reached its conclusion. It has reached what God made it for. And as often as you meet around this table and share this bread and wine, as often as you are together as friends, I am with you, and the world has come to completeness. There may be wars, there may be insurrections, but that's not the end of the story. That's not the purpose for which God has made us. And you need not be afraid, because what you are doing now will save you. The third thing that Jesus says is do not be prepared. Do not be prepared to defend yourself and persuade and be clever and argue in front of the magistrates, the synagogues, the Roman authorities, because they are going to pull you in. They are going to charge you. They're going to hold you accountable for unrest. They are going to threaten your life. And when the moment comes and you are standing before them, that will be your opportunity to testify. But listen to what he has in mind. For it is not cleverness. It is not making a case. It is not a good argument. It is not defense. It is instead the witness of their experience. This is what we have seen. Jesus says, don't prepare your script, but be open, for the Holy Spirit will be present in you. And what the Spirit shows the powers of this world, they cannot overcome. It is these moments that are why we are here today. It is the testimony of the people in the time that they were reading Luke's gospel that were emboldened and encouraged to stand before powers and testify to their encounter with Jesus Christ in the communities that they lived in, that won people over to the cause, that saved and protected their lives ultimately, or for those lives that were lost, made them inspiration for those that would come after. Do not be so clever that you are not listening to what the Spirit is inviting you to do. Do not be so wired in your defense that you cannot be open to the movement of freshness. So, how do we find inspiration in this word that was given to people so long ago? Well, I would suggest that I'm sometimes afraid and would do well to listen to this. I am sometimes concerned about the signs and portents that I see around me. I am sometimes anxious about what is happening in my life as I get older and my relationships change and things are not as they used to be. And Jesus says to me in these moments, do not be misled. Do not look for the latest cure. Do not look for people who are going to tell you how to find a way out of anxiety through some sort of quick fix. Do not be jerked around by something that speaks to fear. But instead, remember, you have already encountered the last revelation. You have the answer if you can just be faithful to it. Come back to where I am. And when you are there, whatever you are dealing with becomes meaningful. And you can experience it in the context of God's saving love. Jesus says to me, do not worry about the end, for you are already at the end every Sunday. Every Sunday when you are with my people, you are in my love. And that's enough for you. And finally, he says to me, when you are challenged, when the way that you are living runs up against the ethos of this world, and people are telling you you're crazy, or that you're not mad enough, or that you're not scared enough, don't argue with them. Don't argue with them. Simply share the testimony of your life living with others in my name. It's funny that the message that Jesus gives me in these passages, above all, is none of us are Christians on our own. Everything in this story is about how we live together. Everything in this story is how we become the body of Christ through our fellowship and love with one another. Everything in this story is a challenging word to us who live in a sort of do-it-yourself culture, that the way we stay close to the revelation of Jesus Christ in this world is by the challenging listening to, bearing with, loving, celebrating with, grieving with one another. This is a passage all about Jesus reminding them that when challenge comes and we're tempted to scatter, when fear comes and we're tempted to go into ourselves, when we're all trying to make sure us and our folks are okay, it is the practice of being together in the Holy Spirit that is the final reassurance and that really protects us from anything that scares us. I had one of these moments not so long ago where God broke into my life and made this real. One of these don't be prepared moments. I was working in Toronto for a week, and in the evening I would go out walking and seeing things on the side of the street, people that seemed lonely or hurting. And something was building up inside of me, and I decided to go to the farmer's market, and I got in the longest line there, and I asked people, what are you waiting for? And they said, strawberries. And I said, they must be good. And they said, they're fantastic. They're divine. And I waited 45 minutes. I got up to where the farmers and their children were packaging the strawberries. And I said, I'll take 4 quarts. And the farmer looked at me sort of startled. And he said, what are you going to do with 4 quarts of strawberries? And I said, I'm going to eat them. He said, that's a lot of strawberries. I said, I feel hungry. So he reluctantly gave me the bag. As I started home, eating the strawberries, I'd eaten about half of a quart. I was already itching and breaking out. And I realized I wasn't going to be able to be responsible for everything that I'd taken in. When I got back to where I was staying, there was a sign inside the refrigerator that said, "Under no circumstances can you leave any food in this apartment?" And I texted the owner, and I said, "But the strawberries are amazing." And she wrote back one word, "No." So here I am, in a city where I don't know anyone, with a lot of strawberries that I can't possibly throw away. And for the next 3 days, they weighed heavily on me and colored everything that I saw in this city. Until the last night that I was there, I was walking past a government building, and there were about a dozen people in sleeping bags out front, and I thought, okay. And something took over. I went back to the apartment, put the strawberries in the paper bag, and I came back. And without thinking, I squatted down in the midst of this congregation, and the words that came out were, "I got too many strawberries." And a woman looked up from a sleeping bag and she said, "You poor thing. What are you going to do?" And I said, "I hope you can help me." And a man said, "How can we help?" And I said, "Well, do you like strawberries?" And another woman said, "Are they good?" And I said, "I don't know, let's see." And I opened the paper bag and I set the strawberries out. And a man said, "Those look like they came from a farm." Another woman says, "They remind me of my grandmother's strawberries." And another woman says, "Shut up and let's eat them." And we started passing the strawberries around and people started talking about fruit and farms and family and summer. And finally, after I'd been there for about 10 minutes, I thought, I'm in these people's living room. And I said, "I should go now." And the first woman said, "You should go, but you can come back. Don't be prepared for what you're going to say. Let the Spirit speak through you. Because if you have experienced the love and acceptance and salvation in the body of Jesus Christ, that Spirit will be ready to move when life is unsettling and unpredictable. And God gives you something that is an occasion for testimony. May we, as often as the Spirit gives us grace, be unprepared and open, be unafraid and confident, and rather than be misled, let us follow the final revelation that has given us confidence that in Him we have enough. Thanks be to God.
Amen.
Eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light,
Joey, Sherry, RG, Shelby, Kristen, Mark, Joe Carroll, George, Martha and family, the people of the Ukraine, the Dedicare family, Cecile, are there others?
Landry.
And for those in the military, Brian, Trevor, James, Brian, Kevin, Chris, Jared, Eric, Jonathan, Jaden, are there others? All in harm's way. We pray for all who are traveling this week. We pray for all who have died, especially those who died in the Seoul tragedy. We pray in Thanksgiving with Carson Clinton, Diane Hayes, and Mike Thomas, who celebrate their birthdays this week.
At this time, I invite your petitions and thanksgivings, either silently or aloud. We pray in Thanksgiving for the sermon we've just heard, for Stephen's presence with us. Or we pray in Thanksgiving for all those who have served or are serving in the military. We pray in Thanksgiving for elections peacefully carried out, and other thanksgivings and petitions you may wish to offer. Almighty and eternal God, ruler of all things in heaven and earth, mercifully accept the prayers of your people and strengthen us to do your will through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess
that we sin against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have done undone. We have not loved you by our own heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves.
We are truly sorry we come to you in repent.
For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us,
that we may be God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins, through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep us in eternal life.
Amen.
Please stand. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Peace be with you.
Also with you, peace.
Okay.
Peace. Peace.
And with you, peace.
Also with you.
Peace.
Peace be with you. Peace be with you.
Thank you.
Christ loved us and gave himself for us and is offering and sacrifice to God. Suffering and death,
our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. When he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took a cup of wine. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
We celebrate the memorial of our redemption, O Father, in this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Recalling his death, resurrection, and ascension, we offer you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be for your people the body and blood of your Son, the holy food and drink of new and unending life in him. Sanctify us also, that we may faithfully receive this holy sacrament and serve you in unity, constancy, and peace. And at the last day, bring us with all your saints into the joy of your eternal kingdom. All this we ask through your Son, Jesus Christ, by him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say,
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Alleluia, Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us.
Therefore let us keep the feast. Alleluia.
The gifts of God for the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. guide you in truth and peace, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you forever.
Amen.
If you didn't know it before, Nancy's voice is Ms. Thanksgiving. Ms. Burnett Thanksgiving. And we're so grateful to you for what you do every year in that regard.
Do you still have pans and you recipes and all that? Yeah, I know exactly what to take.
Y'all are making me happier than ever that we've moved the announcements to the end. This is really good. And then I had the impulse to tell you to sit down. Because those were important announcements. Another one is to thank Stephen for that sermon today and to express our gratitude. We have more of those to look forward to. I'm really happy about that. If your name is in the first half of the alphabet, quite figured out whether it's your first name or your last name, you got an empty email from me that said, look, I remembered to put the link in this week, and I didn't even put in the text of the letter in that one half of the alphabet. Ellie, I can always count on Ellie Burke. She brought it to my attention, so I sat furiously at my desk before I came out here and sent it out to everybody. But if you're in that part of the alphabet, you might not have gotten noticed that we were hit by lightning the other day. This bell tower was struck by lightning. But it's Burnett. Who am I kidding? Of course you know that. I mean, everybody knows that.
Bible study?
And Bible study was the other thing. Do you have anything to say about it in particular, Stephen?
Those of you who want to come, you're going to hear the gentle chiming of prayer bells, which will be your signal that we will gather in the library. Those of you who would like to dig further into the text from today, we'll have a brief Bible study together right after talk.
All right. And one of the reasons I'm standing here so the mic will pick me up is that you folks that are on Zoom, I know you're out there. Just give us a few minutes to get coffee and then come back on. We want to have you with us in coffee hour. We will do our best to make that work. All right. Now, yes, ma'am, Linda, our senior warden.
It's not that we haven't said it before, but if anybody has not sent your pledge card in, please prayerfully consider it.
Great. And I would dismiss you, but I'm going to get back here first. I'm going to have you.